Bedtime is one of the nicest times of the day when your children are young. Now, there's two reasons for this. The one I remember most is because it's the time mum clocks off and gets a bit of a break. But it's also lovely when you cuddle up with them with a bedtime story. But could you cuddle up to an e-book reader? Those portable devices which can store hundreds of books. I mean, obviously for a child, reading on a screen's no big deal. That's what they do all the time. But there is something special about reading a paper book, at least for someone as ancient as I am. A special feeling which doesn't translate to a computer screen. Author Libby Haythorne has written dozens of children's books, and in her latest story, she set out to capture the joy of reading a paper book. Welcome to Life Matters, Libby.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Now, the story's called I Love You Book. Where did the inspiration for the title come from?
Oh, look, the inspiration was quite some time ago. Quite often, a lot of my books are inspired by poetry. This time, I was actually en route in a book tour in Papua New Guinea. Ended up in a town called Goroka, which is a beautiful high mountain town, in an assembly of about 500 boys in a high school. Now, the principal told me that some mothers had come to the school specially because the storyteller was here. And this wonderful thing happened in that three of them got up and they had a little play, which they called I Love You Book. The fact is they'd learnt to read so they could understand and be with their sons. And just to listen to that sort of halting kind of poem, they said, I love you, book, you open the door to my house, you take me to the big world. I was sort of sitting there so moved by this incredible performance that then and there I decided I love the idea of an I love you book title. And right here and now it seems more pressing than ever to pay homage to the paper book, and that's what I've done in I Love You Book.
Now, the story's also available as an e-book, Libby. I'm out in here.
That's true. It's ironic, isn't it, almost? Because I'm talking about the sensory delights of the book, you know, to hold it, touch it, smell it, if you're a baby, taste it, yes. You know, all the five senses in play. But I'm with IP Kids, a publisher who is very, very interested in the different kinds of media. So he, David, decides to do both the paper book, because that's one sort of audience, and because there's a move, unfortunately, away from paper books, or fortunately, it's not an either or, I guess, also to make it an e-book for that audience that might not otherwise have it as a paper book.
Which could then introduce them to paper books, I suppose.
Absolutely.
If you do your job.
Yes, if I'm saying there's something even to the weight and the shape of a book. There are so many things about, you know, I try to talk to parents about this, about the importance of, I think you mentioned it, the cuddle up with the book, that notion of parent and child being close together, not to say you can't do it over a Kindle. And on one of the pages, I actually directed Heath McKenzie, who's this marvellous illustrator, to put in the child's bedroom a TV and a computer, not to say, look, we're not in this age of wonderful media, because I'm very interested in what we can do with story and indeed work in different kinds of media like apps and ebooks and so forth, and my novels have become ebooks, but at the same time to show that beautiful, the thing about paper books, I think, look, there's a quietness about books. And there's something about the timbre of the mum or dad's voice or the grandma's or aunt's or friend that isn't replicated in an e-book, even if it has sound. I think that something special will make the paper book survive.
But how popular are e-readers for children? I mean, I expect adults are buying them, but for their own reading rather than for their children, or am I misguided?
No, I do think from my sort of meagre research, just asking friends and family and talking to publishers, there's definitely been uptake at times like Christmas time of e-book readers, which means they're going into often their presents for kids, or they're going into the family hub. So that, I mean, my little grand niece grabbed into her mum's bag the other day to take out the iPhone or the Kindle, I'm not sure, because there was a Peter Rabbit as an e-book she was going to look at. Now, this is a bookish family and a bookish house. So we've got to face the fact that the e-book can bring other kinds of pleasures, but it doesn't cancel out what I'm trying to say about the paper book.
And it's cheaper to buy a book as an e-book than as a hard copy.
Yes,
isn't it?
I've got to admit it is. Yes, you can pay double, I suppose, for the paper book. But then, you know, to some extent, there's double the pleasure for little kids. I think, I mean, I'm really lucky that I write for children and young adults, because I really think the book will be around for a long, long time, the paper book, that is. Stories can come in all their forms, but there's something terribly important about, I keep coming back to the cuddle up with a book, but,
yeah,
you know, it is a lovely thing. And even to let kids sort of handle the book, turn the pages themselves, that's active enough. And that's truly the child being active.
Yes.
In that old-fashioned sense of the word.
In that old-fashioned sense of the word. And I've often thought that books are the most interactive media because you direct the film in your head of whatever it is you're reading.
Oh, gosh, that is so important. I'm glad you said that, because I should have. That we're calling on imagination. We're definitely calling on the child from the words and even from that picture to maybe go a bit further to kind of explore the picture. If there is no picture, of course, to use their own imagination. And things just shouldn't be presented in a pat kind of fashion. If we're asking kids to imagine, we're developing their creative thinking, which I think is what paper books are all about.
Because, of course, e-books, as you've said, have features which can extend the text.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. I mean, wonderful to be linked and hyperlinked. And I love the idea of an app about a little rabbit can show it hopping across the paddock. Or, you know, a little wombat wakes up in the morning and the sun rises and we can see it. And you can even see it it's been demonstrated on an iPhone. I don't think that threatens the book. In my thinking, to me, they're two different and separate things that kids who are very intuitive and adapt to much more easily, say, than adults do.
But boys being more reluctant readers in general than girls, I mean, perhaps an electronic gadget is a way to get them to read.
Look, absolutely. I remember doing, probably before its time, I did a series of CD-ROMs. We trialled it in schools, and it was the boys who took to it. Anything that moves on a screen seemed to captivate them, and even readers who didn't read before would try because they knew they were going to get to the game in this Weird Stop series of strange stories sort of thing. So I do think that's absolutely right, that a certain audience, both boys and girls, who don't take easily will kind of be drawn in by the fact that things move.
Yes, exactly. But you want parents to make the most of your books and of paper books, and you've began to make videos with reading tips.
Mm.
So how can parents actually add value to the book that they're reading to young children?
All right. I think I'm going to do a little, you know, as you say, a little series on it. But I think, first of all, make a time to read the book. I think if we're saying reading's important, kids have got to see the parents value the reading time. Be close to your child while, you know, you're reading.
As you said at the beginning.
Yes. Yeah. Ask leading questions like, stop at a certain page. What's happening here? What might happen? What do you think is going to happen next? And those sort of things to open up the reading experience and the illustrating, you know, the picture experience as well, and be close to the kids. And I think experiment with the way you read. You don't need to read it the same way every night.
Well, that's very good advice. My children are now 20 and 23, so
you can
I don't
still
really.
Read to them.
I can if I can sit them down for long enough. But I think it's certainly really important. So thank you for coming in, Libby.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jane.
I've been talking to Libby Haythorn, author of "I Love You" book, which is a gorgeous title, published by IB Kids. Now, tomorrow on Life Matters, the latest innovation in social housing. It's all about mixing it up, apparently, and placing affordable housing in amongst the less affordable housing, least affordable higher-end housing. And we met a woman who's come to terms with never having children, which is a big thing, I think.